Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Spartanburg, South Carolina. I'm John Murphy alongside Steve Tasker here for the next 3 hours to do our show, One Bills Live from Spartanburg. The Buffalo Bills practicing here with the Carolina Panthers the last 2 days. A little bit cooler, although I just looked, it's 85 degrees, so going to get up to 92. But it felt cooler out on the practice field today, didn't it, Steve?
Oh, yeah. It was significantly cooler. It was a nice day today.
It was okay.
You didn't have to really run to the shade. You could just kind of breathe, you know, easily stroll to the
stroll
shade.
To the shade.
And then
shade was paramount.
Yeah. Yeah.
Day number two here, and I'm feeling much better. Thanks for putting up with me yesterday.
That was good. No,
I felt
you
made through.
You gutted out a nice solid victory yesterday.
We got through the show. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah,
we did. Got a good show here. This is going to be an amazing day. I hope we can make it. I mean, I hope we can get through it with all the guests we have. That's what I meant. Sam Acho is going to join us on at 12:30 or so, coming off the practice field. I was just taking a look for him. We are, by the way, in the beautiful Spartanburg, South Carolina Marriott Hotel. That's been our headquarters hotel the last 2 days. And the Bills are staying here as well. And if your business or pleasure ever takes you to Spartanburg, can I do an endorsement for the Marriott? It's good. It's a good place.
It is. It's been a nice hotel for us.
We're like really the only ones here.
Yeah.
But it's nice. Very accommodating.
Yeah, it's set up well for the team, too. They've got it's a perfect setup for them. And logistically, it's right just off Wofford campus.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the staff and coaches and stuff are walking to the fields in the morning. So not you and I aren't doing that.
We're too lazy.
We're driving.
We're about a mile away
from
the
air conditioner on.
Yes.
And talking our way to the closest parking spot, too. So having said that, though, the setup is really very nice.
Yes.
They've got three huge practice fields outside the football stadium here at Wofford. And they've been using it. And there's been great crowd support as well.
And my glasses are fogging up. So how did it
came out of the air conditioning.
Yes. But no, it's been great here. Sam Acho is going to join us sometime this hour, we believe, as the Bills make their way back here to the hotel after practice today. Got another Sam at 1 o'clock. I'm really looking forward to talking with Sam Weich. You know the name, right? Coach Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl. Played in the AFL. Played right down around the corner here in Furman at Furman College, Furman University. Lives in this area around the corner in Pickens, South Carolina. Bills quarterback coach for a couple of years, 2004-2005, the transition between Drew Bledsoe and J.P. Lossman. And Sam Weich has agreed to stop by. I'm looking forward to talking with him.
I haven't spoken to him for a while. He was with me and during my tenure at CBS. He was one of the other guys that was on the roster, and I had a chance, obviously, to talk to him a couple of times over that. But great dude.
Feel like we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Sam White's going to join us here at 1 o'clock today. Around 1:30, Shaq Lawson, he is a local, basically, right? He played right down the road at Clemson. He had a kids group here at practice today. We'll talk with Shaq about that. Big year for him. He's played well, had a good camp. Shaq Lawson going to join us at 1:30. Get Chris Brown's report at 2. Bills insider Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com will join us at 2 o'clock to tell us what he saw at practice today. Steve and I are going to go through that as well. And then around 2:30, you guys talked to some folks last night. Now, I missed it because I just felt lousy yesterday all day. But you and our crew and a couple of other Bills personnel went to the East Side Bar and Grill in Greenville, South Carolina, about, a half hour down the road?
Yeah, a half hour down the road.
Bills Backers Club, right?
Bills Backers Bar. And, I mean, it's fun for us. We've done it before. Like, we did one, in San Diego or something out there years ago.
Yes, I did that a couple years ago.
And so it's fun to go into those places, see how they work things and see the people. All of them, as you can imagine here, are transplants from Batavia and Rochester, Buffalo, North Tonawanda, every Orchard Park even. So they were from all over Western New York, all down here now, and they all congregate at the East Side Bar and Grill in Greenville, and we went over and said hi to them.
How'd that go? Good times?
It was great.
Yeah, people were
great.
Friendly.
Well, it was
happy
a little awkward because when we walked in with me and Chris Brown was with us and you know, Chris Jenkins and the erstwhile producer of our show, Jay Harris, they went crazy.
They're singing the song.
I was like, well, oh my gosh, what did we walk into? I wasn't ready for that. And they started doing the chants and everything, and they were great.
You weren't ready for it?
After they calmed down, we got a chance to say hi to most everybody in the room, and yeah, there was, I don't know, 150 people there, 100 people there. A lot of fun. Nice little place, and I talked to the owner. She said that those fans are just awesome. She loves Bills fans now, not just because they frequent her place, but they're very loyal. They come in there once or twice a month, you know, when the game's not on during the off season. They stay in touch. They come by. And, of course, they showed up in droves last night. It was a lot of fun.
Anybody ask you where I was?
Yeah, one or two people.
Baloney. Nobody did.
Well, it was Jay Harris.
on the way back.
George Blas, yeah.
Is Murph in the car? Oh, no. No, but you said a lot of viewers and listeners to the show were there last night.
Everybody
huh?
says they listened to the show. They did. Everybody. They go, yeah. And they. But here's the thing. You always say, yeah, okay. It's like. You know, it's like everybody saying, hey, you should be in the Hall of Fame. You know who I am, right? But it's a conversation starter. So it's kind of like, I kind of thought that people came up to us and said, hey, I really listened to your show. And I thought, yeah, okay.
But you don't think they do?
I do, because they always say, I remember when you were talking about A, B, C, and D. They would recount what they heard on the show. And I was like, oh, wow, they did listen to the show.
Yes.
It was great. Yeah. So that did make me feel really good last night, because they all do listen to the show and they tell you, I got my phone right by my desk at work, and you know, or we've got it on the loudspeakers at work, or I play it in the office because I'm the boss kind of thing. So it's kind of cool to have people listen in from all over the country. Yeah. Sean McDermott said yesterday, we're worldwide.
Yep. Sorry I missed that. I know you guys had a good time.
Yeah.
We're headed to Charlotte tonight, as I said, about an hour and 15 minutes away, and we're going to do our show from downtown Charlotte tomorrow, Thursday. Tomorrow is Thursday, right, and Friday. As the Bills get set to play preseason game number two, Charlotte is like Buffalo South. There's Bills fans all over Charlotte, North Carolina, right?
Yeah, you'll see a ton of Bills fans in the stands on Friday night. If anybody from Buffalo came down here, they'd be astounded by how many people, you know, from their hometown, or you know, most people come down here. They'd have friends down here. People come down to visit friends, use it as an excuse. So, a lot of that going on this weekend, no question.
So that's where we're at. Again, the show here today. We're in Charlotte tomorrow and Friday. The Bills will do a walkthrough here tomorrow morning, and then they will bus up to Charlotte about an hour away. They're in their kind of a regular game day mode right now, getting set for Friday's game. 2 days of workouts complete with Carolina, finished up with the Panthers today at Wofford. Let's talk a little bit about what we saw. Looked like we haven't had any confirmation, but it looked like a veteran rest day for Ty Nsekhe, who'd been getting the ones at right tackle.
Yeah, he didn't take any reps at all. Now, he was out there running around, and I guess he was in pads, you know, with his helmet, but he just took a day off, which that is the only thing that we didn't get. I mean, I don't know why he was out there in his pads and all that. If he was going to take a rest day, maybe it's because they didn't know if they could get through practice. Somebody got hurt or something. You know, they wanted him handy. But he warmed up a little bit, did a few individuals. Actually, he was out there. He really just stood around most of the day. So I'm pretty sure it was a rest day, or we'll get a report of him being superficially injured.
Yeah, I don't think
because even if he was injured, he was still fully dressed up.
Right. And Brett, Steve and I take off before the end of practice, so we can't get whatever post-practice recap we get. But Chris Brown will fill us in on that. What else? Mitch Moore still in concussion protocol, still in stage four, it appears, of concussion protocol. It looks to me like he's doing just a slight bit more today than he did yesterday. But you know, now we're splitting hairs.
He was given. He was taking snaps. He didn't have shoulder pads on. But during 7-on-7 one-on-ones, Mitch Morse was snapping the ball to the quarterback, so he was getting that back into his activities. And so, yeah, it seems to be progressing.
Looked a lot like yesterday's practice. I thought the offense held its own, maybe not quite as sharp as the Buffalo offense was yesterday. And we watched a little bit of defense. I thought the defense was okay, not great today. What'd you see?
Yeah, it wasn't as bad a day as it today for Carolina's offense as it was yesterday. Cam Phillips got – Cam Newton got picked off three times yesterday, and the backup got picked off once. And today I saw one interception from Cam Newton, and that was a tipped pass from his receiver, hit his receiver. So, and their running backs, their running game, they all looked really good. Although the Bills' run defense at this point from all every rep I've seen them take, both in the Colts game last week and practice and training camp leading up to this and today and yesterday, they're tough to run on.
Yeah.
They're really tough to run on. I'm really interested in seeing how that goes, whether that carries over. Certainly teams are going to have some things up their sleeve on game day where they're going to have to do some different things, but man, oh man, they are very, very hard to run on.
And the Buffalo offense seems to be coming along. Brian Daboll spoke to the media before practice began today, and he was asked, what's the benefit, what's the value of having these joint practices with the Carolina Panthers? Here's what Coach Daboll had to say.
It's good. It's always good to practice against other teams. You know, it's not a preseason game, but it's almost like a preseason game in these practices. They're very competitive. It's not live, but you're getting good thud tempo. You're getting a variety of different looks that maybe you didn't get for the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks up at training camp. So the communication process is it's very important. The many more looks we can get, the better off it is for us. You know, I hope they come out here with as many different looks as they can today.
Brian, it's
Coach Daboll talking to the media before practice. You know, he makes an important point. We talked yesterday about the uptick in competition yesterday. A lot of that, and it's an impression you get from watching, a lot of that I get is from the tempo, right? It's almost a game-like tempo, like huddle, get the play in, let's go, let's get to the line of scrimmage. Yeah, it's not like a practice tempo.
They asked Daboll about that tempo, and he said, listen, there's all kinds of tempo, and he's right. He said one of the things I kind of chuckled to myself when he said it, but it's really true. Because you don't really think about it when you're playing and when you're coaching stuff. The tempo, he says, that's really important is getting in, getting out of the huddle, getting to and from the drills. You know, the tempo of how eager the guys are to get started practicing, how sharp the and that's a reflection, too, on his room, his quarterback room. When those guys are in and out of the huddle, they're shifting, they're moving, they're doing all the formations and shifts and motions correctly. It really lends itself to a really productive practice, and the Bills have been really sharp on that. In and out of the huddle. He also said, yeah, and then he also went into the other types of tempo that we're all familiar with and we all talk about. No huddle offense,
right.
2-minute offense, 4-minute offense, when you're trying to run the clock out and when you're trying to save as much time as you can. And, of course, no huddle, where everybody's got that in their arsenal, how you run that. And that's the tempo we're all kind of attuned to now. We're starting to watch football again at this time of year. He's more in tune at this time of year to watching them get in and out of the huddle, right? All the shifts, motions, personnel groupings, all of that. That's the tempo he's talking about, and that's about what the tempo of practice. And it has as much to do with your team as it does has to do with the Panthers and your team competing.
You know what struck me today, watching two teams, and I did get a better look at Carolina today than I did yesterday. They practice similarly, and it's a lot of it has to do with tempo. There's not downtime. There's not a lot of fooling around, for lack of a better term. There's not a lot of standing around. They have and it's probably because McDermott, spent 6 years here with Ron Rivera, but they practice in a similar fashion, right? Let's do this drill. We'll take our break here. You know what I mean?
And
they match tempos a little bit.
Yeah, they did. And they each took a break at one point during the practice today. It was about a 10-minute break right before you and I left. We were like, what are they going to do
next? Let's go.
They were kind of standing around.
We wanted them to go.
Yeah. But practice for me. But they stood around, just took you took a knee. I mean, guys were standing around getting a drink. It's nothing but a water break. Both teams took it at the same time. They were split up at the time. Panthers and Bills were on two separate fields. And they did it for, it must have been 10 minutes, where they kind of just sat there and just caught their breath and took a drink. And then, they practice clicked back on, and they went right into team period. It was a lot of fun to watch. I really enjoyed today's team period because it was play after play after play. You'd watch the Carolina offense against the Bills defense swing over on the other field. We were between the fields. You walk to the other sideline, and the Bills offense against the Panther defense. It was a lot of fun, and it was kind of like, Bills defense was better here. Carolina's defense was better here. Carolina's offense was better here. Bill's offense got one on him here. It was back and forth who was playing better. And because there was four sides of the ball to watch and evaluate. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Practice veterans, observing veterans like you and I, we know where to stand, where to put ourselves.
And today, we were completely, I think, breaking the rules, too.
Yeah.
I think we were totally in the wrong area. But
nobody stopped us.
And what you do is, let me just give you a piece of advice. Here's what happens if any of you are in a place like that. You always latch on to a person who's more important. Or,
is that why you were next to me?
Yeah. You and I went over and got next to our boy, the play-by-play from the Panthers.
Mick Mixon.
Yeah, we got next to Mick. We Mick's better than us. So
we'll, yeah, nobody's going to chase Mick.
Right, nobody will chase him, and we're with him. So that's what we did. And it was great.
Saw a lot.
Yeah, we saw a lot. We had a great vantage point. And so far, no pushback.
Yeah. Well, too late now. We're out.
Right.
We're leaving town.
If they kick us out now, say, okay, we'll just leave then.
Yeah.
Because we're leaving anyway.
I don't have a real good sense of particular stand. I got a couple of standouts from practice today. And it's not just because all I do is watch offense. But I thought, again, we're talking about down the line here, wide receiver talent.
Right.
For the Buffalo Bills. We made a Twitter poll question out of it that we want to get you involved in, but it's interesting. And we're only talking about the fifth and sixth spots on the roster, I believe, for the Bills when it comes to wide receivers, right? I mean, John Brown, one. Cole Beasley, two. Zay Jones, three. Robert Foster, many people think, is on at four. You're looking at me like you're not sure about that?
No, I'm and then Andre Roberts.
And Andre Roberts is five. So what are we talking about? One wide receiver. But well, let me do the Twitter question first, and you can weigh in. Who's got the best chance of cracking the Bills roster as the number six wide receiver? And again, this is all speculative. There's no announcement from the team who's made it, who hasn't, who's a candidate. We want to know your thoughts. After watching preseason game number one, after following our show and keeping an eye on practice, who do you think has the best chance of making the 53-man roster for the Bills as the number six wideout? Give us a call. We'll discuss. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Or send in a tweet. You can do it on the tweet sheet, too. We got 320 votes in so far on the tweet sheet. And it's almost a landslide. 60% of you, 6-0, say Isaiah McKenzie got the best chance as the sixth wide receiver. Only 31% say Ray McLeod. 7% have Cam Phillips, 2% have somebody else in mind. But I want to talk, and I want to get your thoughts on that, and please call in. We have plenty of time to take phone calls here. I want to get your thoughts on it, too, but let me tell you just my observation today, Steve, and not just today, over the last week or two. And we're only talking about the sixth wide receiver. There are people who would, you know, snicker and turn the radio off. Can you believe they're talking about the sixth wide receiver? Yes, that's what we do, right? We're talking about the sixth wide out.
Because we're deep into training camp.
We are deep into it. We are knee-deep in training camp. But I made a couple of thoughts. I had a couple of thoughts today about a couple of wide receivers. One of them, and I talked about him briefly yesterday, Cam Phillips, who spent time around the Bills last year on practice squad. He made another solid catch today. All he does is make big catches in practice and, by the way, in the preseason game. I don't know if Cam Phillips can be easily dismissed as a candidate for a roster spot. I'm not saying he's a starter. Not saying he's a Pro Bowl performer, but I don't know if you can just write him off. We'll see. The other guy is a rookie from Iowa who they really pursued hard after the draft, an undrafted rookie free agent, number 86, Nick Easley. And if you think back, and you've watched practice when I did at training camp, every time Nick Easley had a chance to make a play, he did, and he has, and he did today. I think Nick Easley, who's undersized, he's not what you're looking for, prototypical, 5'11", 205, but productive at Iowa, and I think he's a guy that the Bills like coming in. He's clearly a roster or a practice squad candidate. Those two guys I would include on my list of guys who could be number six. Yes, Ray could be number six. Isaiah McKenzie could be number six. Isaiah gives you the special teams option that you may or may not need, right, if Andre Roberts is going to be your return man.
Right.
But don't dismiss Cam Phillips or Nick Easley. Those are my thoughts. Steve?
Right, and it says nothing about David Sills, Victor Bolden, Duke Williams. Nick Easley had a really nice day today.
Yeah.
And you know what the amazing thing about Nick Easley? Like you say, he's 5'11", 200, so he's built like a Cole Beasley type. He's got that body type. He's got a kind of a John Brown kind of body type. But down they went down and ran one-on-one pass routes in the red zone. Now, he made a couple of really nice catches, and he just dropped a guy off in his route early out in the field. They were running one-on-ones out the field on coming out of their own 40-yard line, so they had a whole field to work with. Nick Easley just left the DB.
Yeah.
The guy was
5 or 6 yards.
Yeah, it was a pitch and catch. The guy, he just dropped him off. And then down inside the 5-yard line, they ran some red zone stuff, and Easley ran a little quick fade and went up high for it, came down, tapped both feet, and got in against a big DB. He had an impressive day.
Yes, he did.
I don't know how many opportunities he's going to get, but he brings something to the table. He runs really nice routes. He gets separation. You can bet that the Bills are watching that and thinking, if he's not going to make the roster, we got to put him on the practice squad or whatever, because if Cole Beasley goes down, this guy – being in the room with Cole Beasley all the time, practicing with the Bills, keeping track of what they're going to, listening to the conversations between Cole Beasley and Josh Allen. If Cole Beasley, you know, got a hangnail, couldn't go. You got a guy that's been sitting there through the whole thing and has the same skill, has a, you know, the same kind of body type and the same abilities, and you plug him in midway through the season if that happens. So he's, it gives you depth, even though he would be exposed to other teams on the waiver wire on the practice squad. I think he's, it's the perfect place to hide a guy like him. And I just think I was really impressed with him today.
Me too. I've been impressed with him for weeks, and I've seen him work. I mean, everybody works hard. He works a little bit harder, I think, Nick Easley. I've noticed that from time to time. Staying after practice for long pitch and catch sessions with Tyree Jackson, even Josh Allen from time to time. He's just a guy to keep an eye on. What do you think, though? Who's got the best shot at being the sixth wide receiver on the roster? Do you have a thought on that? We got phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Got some tweets to read on the tweet sheet, and you can vote in the Twitter poll. Let's take a call here. Gary on his cell phone. Gary, hello. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. Good.
I think to answer your poll question, I think Isaiah McKenzie. Because, you know, he can obviously the punt kick return. But think about him. He makes defenses notice him. You can move him around the backfield. It'll shift defenses to get the middle of the field open, get the outside guys open. And not just that, you can line him in the slot. You can line him a little outside. You could do a lot of things with him because of his speed, his ability to make people miss. I really like that ability he has.
Gary, my question for you is, do you keep him and Andre Roberts?
You might have to. You might have to. Because I don't want to get rid of Roberts. You might have to. I don't know the answer to that, to be honest. But if
That's a tough choice, I think, Gary. And I think one of the things you got to remember, too, is, and I don't know whether it's good or bad, I just mentioned it as being a good thing for Nick Easley. I guess you got to say the same thing about Isaiah McKenzie. You got a bunch of guys that are the same body type. I mean, I'll just go down real quick and read you the height of a bunch of the receivers. There's a 5'11", 5'8", 5'8", 5'9", 5'11", 5'8", 5'11".
The Smurfs!
You know, so that's all those guys. Then you've got a 6'3", a 6'2", a 6'2", and a 6'3", and a 6'. You know, that's a David Sills of the world. That's Zay Jones is 6'2". Robert Foster's 6'2". Cam Phillips is 6', and Duke Williams is 6'3". So you've got those guys too. And they kind of separate themselves in. So do you have a group of receivers? Do you make it a point to have some of both of those body types, some bigger, stronger, more physical wideouts who, like a guy like Duke Williams can go up, or Cam Phillips can go up and win a 50-50 ball? Do you keep one or two of those guys around? Or do you have all your receivers be interchangeable so that, for instance, one snap you've got Cole Beasley in the slot, John Brown out to the X receiver all by himself on the far side, then you've got Zay Jones outside the slot and Cole Beasley. Then the next snap, it's the same three guys. You've got John Brown in the slot, Cole Beasley outside the slot, and Zay Jones out of the X by himself on the other side. Now, the defense has got to adjust to those guys where you line them up if they think they're different guys. If they're the same guys, well, then the defense won't adjust at all. So then all of a sudden you put those guys out there. You can have Cole Beasley matched up on any DB you want. Same thing with Zay Jones. Same thing with John Brown. So that's what you're looking at. If you've got three guys who you can treat, or even five guys who you can treat as the same guy and you think they've all got a similar skill set, you throw those all five of those guys out there on the field, and you can put them in any slot you want, outside on the right to inside on the left and any place in between there, and you can run your offense and have faith in those guys. Now, the defense has to make adjustments. If they've got guys and they say, well, Cole Beasley's their guy, so wherever he goes, we're going to double him. That's awesome.
That's going to happen, too.
Right, so you throw him on the outside. You throw him outside on the left by himself, and you've got John Brown in the slot, Robert Foster or Isaiah McKenzie outside the slot, and you bring Devin Singletary or LeSean McCoy out to that side, too. Those guys are all singled, all of them, because you're double-teaming Cole Beasley out by himself on the wide side of the field. So that gives the defense some choices to make, and then gives your quarterback some options about getting the exact matchup he wants. That's what you got to think about when you're putting this roster together. Do you have five guys the same, or do you have some guys where you manipulate it a different way, where you put a big guy in there and you force them to double team him, or you think, okay, if you're going to send your second or third corner on Duke Williams, Duke's going to win, and we're going to throw it to him. So that's what you're thinking about when you put this roster together, those wide receivers. Do you want them all to look alike, or do you want the whole range of different things you want to be able to plug in?
Who are the viable options, bigger size? I'm honestly.
Well, I think Cam Phillips is certainly one of them. He's 6 foot, 201. Duke Williams, 6'3", who right now is probably the guy who's behind Zay Jones at 201. And David Sills is 6'3". See, David Sills and Duke Williams, those guys.
They're in trouble to making the roster.
That's right. So you may not have that choice to make. Then you're getting down to why do you keep, Zay Jones is 6'2", and he's not a slot-type receiver. He's
caught
a different guy.
He caught 56 passes last year.
He did, but you might have a guy in there now that's going to – a guy caught 110, How many did Cole Beasley catch last year?
Well, he caught more than Zay, but I think Zay's – I'm not saying he's a roster lock, but I think he's on the roster.
It's about – and I get it. He's got a really good skill set. I like what he's done. He works really hard at it. They like his personality. He's a great locker room guy. He fits the DNA, which is important. But what happens if you got a guy who gives you something more, or at least your perception through training camp is giving you more?
Here's a call from Gary on a cell. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the show. Is that you, Gary? No, I lost you. We have a caller on the line? Maybe
we
not.
We just had Gary, yeah.
We just had Gary. I don't know what's going on with that. Let's go to the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. We got a lot of response to this on Twitter. Who's got the best chance to crack the roster as a number 6 wide receiver? Jack tweets in, my heart is saying Isaiah McKenzie. I love his speed, though he was brought in as a returner and has showed great hands and ability as a small water bug wide receiver last year who can also run end-arounds, but we can't forget Ray Ray is their draft pick, and I feel this staff hates to cut picks. Oh, that's a good point. Good points, about Ray Ray being
a
draft
pick. They cut a couple of wide receiver draft picks last year.
Seventh rounders.
So there is that. And that may be true, and you're right. And that's it's good. It's a good thing. He's a small water bug wide receiver. He can run into rounds. He had a couple of rushes last year. And Ray Ray has flashed a little bit in this camp, right, Murph?
He's been good for 3 weeks here.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing. He was good early last year. We'll see if he can continue that this year because he kind of faded last year and ended up on the practice squad. And it was his attitude that needed adjusting. And McDermott and both Daboll and McDermott have said he's a much different, much better professional player this year. He learned a lot last year through his ups and downs. Let me get back to the tweet sheet. Tiffany tweets in, last season, Isaiah jump-started our offense with his speed and versatility. Coach Daboll was able to open up the playbook and utilize multiple formations, jet sweeps, et cetera. I see him, this is Isaiah McKenzie, developing into an all-around quality receiver. He's having an impressive camp thus far. Well, there you go, and it's true. Some of these guys are not going to be the same guy from year to year. And the change either up or down or sideways, if it is just more of the same, I mean, that's – you got to get better, and that's all there is to it. You can't – if you're not getting better, you're getting left behind. And some of these guys may go through that later on this camp as it winds down to cut times. They've got to continue to flash and be consistent.
That's the thing. Look, tomorrow will be 3 weeks since camp began. It seems longer for us, doesn't it? Because going back and forth to Rochester, being down here. But it's still pretty early in camp.
Yeah,
we're 3.5 weeks away from the season kickoff. 25 days, I saw today. 25 days until the Bills open up.
We're halfway through camp. Yeah.
So there is still many more stories to come, including on the offensive line and at wide receiver. We're just trying to take your temperature here on where they're at wide receiver. Brian Daboll, as we said, met with the media before today's practice, had a lot of good things to say about the offensive production in day one yesterday. Here's what offensive coordinator Brian Daboll had to say about the Bills' production in yesterday's first day against Carolina.
Sure, it was a good day. You know, I've been in the league for a little bit and have done this a few times, sometimes twice during a training camp. It's always good to practice against another opponent, get different looks. You compete against different talent and different players. I thought, give credit to Carolina, too. They came out here, and we practiced the right way. We got a lot out of it. It was good practice.
What are you looking for?
A good practice yesterday. I think a pretty good practice today for the offense. And they head now for just a walkthrough at Wofford College tomorrow and the game on Friday. Another thing, you know, we talked about how we're midway through camp, right? 3 weeks in, three and a half to go till opening day. And the offensive line is still unsettled, right? And Secchi looked like a day off today. So Spencer Long is getting reps at right guard. Cody Ford is moving out to right tackle. Feliciano is in at center. We should get him on the show, really, John Feliciano. Have you ever had him when he gets signed? I don't think
no,
so.
No, we have not seen him.
This is it struck me today listening to Dable, and somebody asked him about Feliciano. Dable says the same two first words that McDermott said last week when he was asked about John Feliciano. You know what words they are?
Yep.
Tough. And they both said it like
tough
that.
Twice.
Tough. Feliciano, in 3 weeks of camp, has managed to impress his coaching staff and his teammates with how tough he is. And the flexibility is important, right? Position flexibility.
Can play both guards and center. And, yeah. And he is, I think, for me, he's been the biggest surprise of the offensive line. You kind of knew what you had in those guys. And there has been the wrench in the works of, you know, Mitch Morse not being in there. But Feliciano has continued to, you know, bubble to the surface. You know, even when other guys are in there taking reps, when Feliciano gets in there, he keeps getting plugged in high, you know. He gets in there with the ones, and he's done it with three different positions. That's a big statement about how they feel about him. He is a tough dude, and he's big. So I'm with you. I think you think back to last year in the Indianapolis Colts, and for the Bills fans who don't know, they drafted a guard named Quentin Nelson last year, and who was an all-pro guard in his rookie season. That's how good he was. They played against him this last week in Buffalo.
He still looks good.
Ed Oliver. had some moments against him, but he knew it was an all day job going against Quentin Nelson. I think this team sees, and Quentin Nelson was also credited with raising the level of nastiness and toughness and a grittiness of their offensive line. And I think this coaching staff sees John Feliciano much in that same vein. Yeah. They want somebody in there, and you know, I don't want to get crazy, you know, who will slap their face of the guy there. You know, the guy who's going to be the point of the spear in a fight. They need a guy who will not back down in the heat of a game and, in fact, stand up and walk across the line and push a guy. And, you know, make that statement for your team. John Feliciano seems to be one of those guys. He seems to have a gritty attitude that this coaching staff covets in their offensive line. That's why I think that's one of the main reasons. And they keep describing him like that.
Tough.
I mean, they don't say he's a great technician. They say he's a great athlete. No, he's just tough.
And I don't know about you going into last Thursday's game. I was a bit surprised when they lined up to start and Feliciano was in there and not Russell Bodine. But I think that was a message being sent, right? This guy's toughness, this guy's grit is exactly what we're looking for from this group up front.
The one thing this coaching staff and front office have done since Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have started working their plan, they back up what they say with actions. They drafted a kid 7th overall last year at quarterback, and they had nobody here. They had a rookie who played a couple of games the year before, and they traded for – or no, they signed a free agent backup from another team. And I'm downgrading those other two guys just to make a point, so I don't want to do that too bad. But so, and even then, they said it was going to be a competition. They had a 7th overall pick, and they said, no, everybody who gets on our field earns their way on, including you, Josh Allen. Now, they went through some – they took it on the chin for the first half of the season last year because of that. But even in the series embedded, when they showed it, Brandon Bean said, hey, guys are going to pay attention to who we pay.
Mm-hmm.
And on the practice field, guys are going to pay attention who are getting number one reps. Who's getting the number one reps? You know, it's a tough guy on the offensive line. He's getting up – I don't care if he's in. And he keeps getting plugged in. This coaching staff has no give in it. They do what they say no matter what, no matter who it is, whether it's benching Shady McCoy last year for two plays or whatever, to anybody else. And that plays a long way in the locker room, and I think this is another example of it. John Feliciano's got something we want. He's on the field.
And, again, to the point there, we're halfway through camp, halfway through preseason, let's not say camp, and you wonder about the offensive line, and we all have been. Who's going to start? Who's going to play? Dable talked about that today. Brian Dable was asked, are you getting close to the time when you need to make a decision on your offensive line starters? Here's what Dable's response was.
I think it's still a fluid situation. I think,
you know, you try to get as much continuity as you can, and, you know, whether Cody's playing guard or tackle and Ty's in there. It's a good competitive situation that we have right now, and there's a long way to go. Got a lot of work to be done. So we're going to continue to mix and match guys, and, you know, the cream will always rise to the top.
What have you seen with?
It's good to hear Brian Daboll say that. There's a long way to go. There is in this preseason. We're going to take a break. Got a good show coming up for you here. Hope to hear from Sam Acho in a couple of minutes. Bills defensive tackle just signed to the roster last weekend. Sam White's going to join us. Shaq Lawson scheduled to join us. Chris Brown and much more. Come on back. Just getting rolling. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health. We're in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to the show. I can't wear my glasses today, Steve. They keep fogging up. I'm not going to wear them. I'm okay. Nothing to see here anyway except George, our photographer. George has been doing great yeoman work down here all week, right? He's been unbelievable.
And Jay Hare's been cracking the whip on
him,
too.
Yeah, Jay's
man.
Tough.
Golly.
I wouldn't want to work for Jay. I wouldn't want him to be my boss. Hey, wait, he is. We got Sam White coming up at 1 o'clock. We just met Coach. He is here. He lives down the road in Pickens, South Carolina. And he looks good. He looks really good. I can't wait to get him on
just
the show.
Just shy of 3 years off a heart transplant.
Oh, we just talked to him about it. He's unbelievable. Yeah, he's got a variety of ailments.
He's got a... Epic life. He was a pilot, I think, at one point, too. He drives his own plane and does all that
stuff.
Amazing. So, yeah.
Looking forward to having him on at 1 o'clock. All right, Steve, we're here at in Spartanburg, South Carolina. The Bills have wrapped up their practice right down the road at Wofford. A couple of notes. I guess they pertain to the Bills a little bit. This came out right before we went on the air. The Giants wide receiver Golden Tate has been suspended without pay for the first 4 games of the regular season for a violation of the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances. He is eligible to play in all preseason practices and games, returns to the Giants active roster on Monday, September 30th, which is about 2 weeks after the Giants played the Bills in the Meadowlands. Look, I'm not going to applaud someone else's misfortune, but okay, that's all right. If Golden Tate misses Bills at Giants, right?
If you get caught when you're cheating, you got to pay the penalty. That's all there is to it. And, yeah, Golden Tate's still a good player.
Yes.
He's this generation's Hines Ward. You know, that kind of guy.
Like that,
tough,
yeah.
Gritty receiver. He couldn't outrun. There's offensive linemen he couldn't outrun. But the guy can really play wide receiver in the NFL at a high level because of all the other stuff he brings to it. And it's too bad for him, but that's, you know, you got to pay the piper.
24 hours ago on this show, we were talking about the Colts a little bit, about Andrew Luck and the statement on NFL Network from the Colts owner, Jimmy Irsay, about the nature of the problem with Andrew Luck. That's changed. In fact, it changed late yesterday. The Colts have gone from feeling good about Andrew Luck's chances of returning for the start of the regular season to not being able to say for sure if he'll play opening day September 8th at the Chargers. Chris Ballard, their general manager, says tests done on Andrew Luck last night revealed he's gone from dealing with a calf strain, which was originally diagnosed in March, to currently having pain in the high ankle area of his left leg. Ballard, the GM, did say at this point Luck would not play in preseason. They don't know if he'll be ready for August 8th. Red flags, warning signs all over Andrew Luck right now, right?
It's been a mess. Every time, and I get it. Andrew Luck is a high-level player in this league, and he's a star. But they have botched the PR behind his injuries worse than I've ever seen. And they've done it on a consistent basis. This 2 years ago, is he going to play? Is his shoulder hurt? Is it not hurt? They didn't want to say that, hey, he's going to be out for the year. And either they tried to get him back for the year or didn't, and it didn't work. And I think they mishandled.
Well, I was going to say, what's been botched? The medical treatment or the
Why don't they just tell us what's tell people what's going on? A PR, I'm saying.
Okay.
And maybe him, too. Maybe they tried to get him to come back quicker than they should have, and it cost him an entire year. Or they could have gotten the last, 5 or 6 games out of him. Who knows? All I'm saying is, and then you've – and this Andrew Luck this time around with his calf strain, slash what his owners, the owner said, Jimmers, they said it was a bone problem. I don't know what that means. And now they're saying high ankle symptoms.
Well, I know.
What?
I don't know what to think.
What are they getting out of that?
Well, here's the thing. It would really be concerning if it were a medical diagnosis issue, if they're not getting the proper diagnosis, which may be the case here, right?
Maybe
if
they just need somebody who's smart enough to know what that diagnosis is.
Well, that's part two. If it's not that, if they know what they're dealing with medically but are reluctant to talk about it publicly, that's concerning too, but not quite as bad. Not to the look, if he's got a high ankle sprain and it was misdiagnosed, we're talking about not career-threatening but serious injuries that they got to deal with and on a medical basis.
What could it possibly matter now? As they're going into training camp, that he's going to be out for 8 weeks. Who cares? And what are they gaining by that? Nothing.
Yeah.
They gain nothing by lying, and particularly the fact it makes them look like a hodgepodge organization when the general manager and the medical staff and the head coach don't share the information with each other, or now it's a different information than it was, and now the owner's piping in, chiming in. What are they doing over there?
I don't know.
I got to talk to Frank.
Talk to him. He's part of it now, right? I mean, he's a big part of it.
I'm like, dude, get your story straight.
Yeah, at least
pick
get
one.
The story straight.
Pick a story and get it straight.
It.
You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, oh my gosh, it looks bad for the organization.
Look bad. It looks bad, and it may be impending doom if they have to play without him for a while. We'll see.
That's a big deal on their plate. His health has been an issue throughout his career. One of the reasons is the way he plays. And I think probably another reason is that he's one of those guys that doesn't want to convalesce.
Right.
He wants to work through it and play. Yeah. He wants to try and work through the pain. That's another thing. You can say it's a plus or minus, and in certain situations it is a plus. But Andrew Luck's health, when it's starting to look like his legacy is going to be tainted by whatever it was, however many games he could play.
All right, a break here. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Spartanburg, South Carolina for the show. One Bills Live, John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and a special guest, brand new Bills defensive end Sam Acho is with us. Just signed to the roster on Sunday. Here with the team already. That's been a whirlwind couple of days for you, I'm sure, huh?
Yeah, without a doubt. I got a call on Friday, and I was on a flight on Saturday morning at 7 a.m., and I flew into Orchard Park, had a physical on Saturday afternoon, a workout Sunday morning, and a couple hours later, I was on the field practicing with the team. So it's been – and then now I'm here in Carolina getting ready to play the Panthers.
You had a nice stint a couple, 3-4 years in Arizona. Now the last 3 or 4 years in Chicago. You're part of Chicago's ability to kind of turn it around. You were there with the head coach before Hagee, and I can't remember
Nagy,
the
– Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy. John Fox.
John
yeah, so
Fox.
I was, yeah, right. So I was in Arizona for 4 years. Right. I got drafted there, played 4 years there. I was a part of a turnaround there with Bruce Arians came in and you know went to the playoffs, and I went to Chicago for 4 years, part of a turnaround there when we had Coach Fox for the first 3 years, and last year we had Matt Nagy and went to the playoffs. So I've been a part of some really good teams.
Yeah, and you said, I was asking you as we came up, you know, you've been here like what, not even 72 hours, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
So what? Tell me about the vibe, how the players interact, the locker room. I mean, this isn't even your regular locker room, but certainly the atmosphere around the team, the vibe of the team, the personality of the team. What do you see?
Yeah, no, it was an easy decision just to come here just because you look at what they're building here as a team and as a defense, the culture with Coach McDermott, it's just it's a great vibe.
How would you describe that culture? What do you see in a couple of days here?
I see a winning culture is what I see. I see a winning culture, a team that's more about the sum of its parts than about individuals, and that's one thing that you don't always see.
Sam Acho, our guest, Bills defensive end, just signed to the roster on Sunday of this week. He's here to get ready to play against – you'll play, I would think, Friday night in Carolina.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
And they got you as like an edge guy, right? Because you've played some linebacker in your background, right?
Yeah, I've played – you know, I started off as a defensive end, you know, pretty much my whole life, played linebacker the last couple of years. So, obviously, you've done a lot of both. So, it's good to be playing defensive end.
So are you more comfortable with your hand off the ground?
Well, it's funny because when I – growing up, I was a defensive end pretty much my whole life.
Right.
And then I got drafted to the Cardinals. It was a 3-4, so I had to learn how to stand up and figure that whole thing out. And it was always one of those things where we want to put our hands in the dirt, and coaches say, stand up. And now I get that opportunity to put my hand back in the dirt. And so I'm getting more comfortable with it and doing it more.
Okay, so something that Sean McDermott has talked about, this is his third year here, and he's talked about guys who have certain DNA. So he sees, Sam Acho comes available from the Chicago Bears, and you've got your MBA, you've got your degree in business. You speak three languages, English, Spanish, and Igbo. You do a multitude of programs and efforts and initiatives off the field, both in Chicago and you did it in Arizona as well. Did that DNA, did he talk to you about that when they came to you? That had to be at the top of their list.
Yeah, well, he didn't even have to talk about it. You could see it when you walk into the building. There's nothing to even talk about. You see it when you walk in with everything, all the signage on the walls, even the way they do things. It's a first-class organization. And so, like I said, it was a very, very easy decision to come here. It was just a great fit. You think about organizations that stand for something. I saw that my last year in Chicago with Coach Nagy. I saw that my last couple years in Arizona with Bruce Arians. And once you see that, it's hard to say no.
Right.
Sam, 4 years after you got out of Texas, you decided to get an MBA. What are you looking for that MBA? Where did you go, and what are you going to do with that MBA?
Yeah, so it wasn't 4 years. It was actually the year after I graduated. So I graduated. I got won the Campbell Trophy. It's Academic Heisman Trophy. Had a $20,000 or $25,000 postgraduate scholarship that you had to use within 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And so so
the clock was ticking.
The clock was ticking. So I finished off my rookie season, played really well, had 7 sacks, and was the starter of the team. And I felt like I had this whole NFL thing kind of figured out, at least scheduling and et cetera.
Yeah.
And so after my second year, I went in the offseason, started off my MBA. And it took 4 years,
okay,
only because, and there's a good reason. So I was going to finish it in about hopefully a year and a half.
Yeah, you had
a
full-time job.
Well, no, not even that. I got married. So I met my wife, and then we got married one offseason, then we had kids. And then so that kind of slowed down the process. So I finished it after 4 years.
Now, did you go back to Texas to get it?
No, I went to the Thunderbird School of Global Management. So I was playing in Arizona with the Cardinals, right, and the Thunderbird School of Global Management, it's actually the number one international business MBA in the world, and it was located in my backyard in Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah.
And so I would actually drive from our workouts in the morning in the off season, drive to class, take class all day, and go back to do the workouts.
Wow.
And it was it's a part of Arizona State now, but it just made sense. I love international. I love business. I love understanding new people and cultures and bringing things together. So it was another perfect fit.
Do you have plans for that degree, to use that degree post-football?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I want to play as long as I can. But for me, it was just more about the relationships. I got a chance just in March. I was in South Korea speaking at an event with one of my friends who I went to undergrad with, or went to this MBA program with. And so I love, my family, we do international medical mission work in Nigeria. I was in Guatemala with a group called International Justice Mission, trying to fight sex trafficking and mm-hmm. human trafficking, et cetera. And so some of those skills that I learned in my MBA, I'm using not only off the field, but also just the intelligence, the knowledge, the studying, the people skills, the teamwork. You use that in football as well.
I'll tell you, Sam Acho, the citizen of the world, really. I mean,
there it is.
Around.
I gotta global, ask you too, we call, that's what right. we called ourselves at Thunderbird, global citizen.
So no, there you go.
I'm a global citizen.
There you go. Now, okay, so you've got this, and you do fit in a large part, in large measure, to the DNA, what they're the kind of human being they want in this building, helping these guys, helping this team win games. So let me ask you this: you gonna play Friday? I mean,
without a doubt,
right?
Yes.
So that's the here and now.
Exactly. So the here and now is every single day going and proving yourself. Coach talks about all the time. You have to prove yourself. You have to earn it every day. And so these last few practices, I've been trying to do my best to earn it And then, obviously, in the game on Friday, I'm really excited about getting a chance to go out there and make plays.
Right.
Over your 8 years in the league, you must have done this joint practice thing before.
Yeah.
How does it work for you? What do you think of it? What do you get out of it?
Well, I think coaches – I can tell you what coaches get out of it.
Okay.
They get a chance to evaluate other teams. They get a chance to see other players and see how you stack up against a different player. Usually in training camp, you're going against the same guys over and over and over again. And it kind of gets a little bit old. Well, now you get a chance to compete against guys who you haven't competed against. That was different for me this year because I wasn't in training camp for the first few weeks. So I wasn't going against these guys over and over. I don't think I've even gone against these guys yet.
Okay.
So,
that's right.
So anyways, yeah, that's I think the benefit. That's the benefit of joint practice.
You mentioned your family. You and your wife have three children, right? Two
yep.
boys and a girl?
Yep.
Are you planning on moving everybody up to Western
Yeah,
New York?
That would be the plan. Obviously, it's like I said, I've been here for like 2 days,
right.
2.5 days. And so trying to figure everything out, but that would be the plan.
And any trepidation about the weather? I mean, you're from Texas, played in Arizona. You did a couple of winters in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, the same time span I played in Arizona, I played in Chicago. So I played 4 years in Chicago. And my last 4 years were in Chicago. And so Buffalo's not too much different.
Yeah, no, Buffalo won't be as cold as Chicago.
Exactly. But they say Buffalo's warmer. So this is actually summertime.
Yeah, but you'll get more. You'll get more snow.
So me and my kids can build more snowmen.
Yeah, it'll be fun for a while. Believe me.
Yeah.
It always is. That first snow. This first snow of the winter is the best.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, the 10th snow's not so much.
Yeah.
What's your best way to make this roster, Sam? What do you have to do?
Just make plays. Simple, make plays when you're out there. That's our job as defensive ends, defensive linemen. You got to affect the quarterback, make plays, period. So, simple.
Go get it.
Thanks,
go
man.
Get it, man. Thanks for
great
coming on
see
with
you,
us.
Sam.
Appreciate
nice seeing you. Great to meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you as well.
Sam Acho, Bills defensive end, joining us. We got another Sam coming up after the top of the hour. Sam White, who coached in the NFL with the Bengals, spent a couple of years with the Bills as well. He's going to join us next here on the show. Come on back for that. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.